Hi, my name is Alex.
And I'm Jason. And you're listening to perhaps the final episode of...
Whoa,
what was this called again?
No.
You didn't like it?
I'm just joking. Far From Home, a podcast about two Asian Canadians who moved pretty far from home. And then one of them moved back.
Well, yikes. Is moving back.
Oh, is moving back.
Yes.
All right, Jason, where are you in this whole adventure right now?
So we are currently recording live. This is the very last night that I'm
Jason,
in
we're
Japan.
Always recording live. I don't know what you mean.
It's more real this time.
Okay.
There's only one last night. So I moved out of my house today and came to a hotel and I'm staying overnight. And then tomorrow I head to the airport and that is it. That is the end of...
We ship them off.
This time in Japan.
Finally.
Took long enough.
Exactly. You overstayed your welcome. Yeah.
Here we are. It's real.
How long have you been planning this? Or maybe what was the first thing that was like, all right, this is going to set off the chain reaction of me moving out and getting rid of all my stuff and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I said in the last episode that it wasn't until May or June that I had a thought about going back. But then what sort of kicked off the, I actually said this last episode too, what kicked off the unreversible set of events is submitting my lease cancellation. So I did that October 20th. It is December 19th.
Wow.
And then once that was in, it basically meant I have to get rid of everything in that apartment in 2 months. And here we are today.
Wow. Getting rid of all your stuff.
Every last thing. And you know what I realized?
What?
Like I'm actually like a pretty light packer. I don't know, minimalist, not really a minimalist, but
yeah,
I still have so much shit. Like, people just own so much stuff when you, like, when it comes time to actually move it, you realize when you start emptying out cupboards and closets and like looking under your bed and stuff. And there's just so much stuff. Like,
yeah.
Like, I remember I threw away like probably like a huge chunk, maybe like half of it, right?
Wow.
Maybe not half because I shipped out a lot back. But like, I would have a garbage bag and be ready to like throw stuff away, and I would fill up the whole garbage bag with garbage and it wouldn't even like make a dent in the stuff.
Wow, Jason's a hoarder, everybody. He lived in his own filth.
That's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, the surprising thing is probably like linens and clothes.
Oh.
Like bed sheets, towels, clothes. They take up a lot of space actually when you start putting them in bags. Yeah. So I threw out probably like 10 bags or more of garbage over the past week.
Did you throw away all your linens that you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Throw in mattress, bed frame, blankets, pillows, everything. All gone. I mean,
like when you say throw away, did you sell much of it?
Okay, so of my furniture, I sold my sofa. Monitor, and that's it.
Wait, what about your chair? You must have had a decent chair.
Yeah, I had a decent chair, but I had a good friend who might be listening to this podcast who wanted it.
Oh,
so I gave it to him. Basically, my rule was, besides the monitor, if any friend wanted something, I would give it to them for free.
Wow, he was bent. He couldn't wait until you left.
Huh?
He's like, can't wait to get it. Can't wait to get my hands on these chairs.
And then so I gave away the chair and like my lights and some other small furniture and that to friends, and then I posted online to get rid of the big appliances, so like the fridge, the washing machine. I had like a low table, like a rug, so I gave those away for free to someone.
Oh, all the appliances and stuff?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know why, but I thought that like with Japan's rental I don't know.
No, it doesn't come with anything.
Like, it doesn't come with everything, anything. So I thought that, I would have thought that selling appliances is a huge
industry
used market.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, honestly, for that fridge, like my fridge and washing machine were not fancy at all. They were probably like $200-$300 each.
Well, that's cheap,
right? Like right? they're pretty, you can get appliances for cheap here.
Oh, okay.
And they were like 4 years old at this point.
Okay.
Dating myself here, four-ish years old. So I probably could have sold them for like $50.
Yeah.
But then I don't know. I was like $50. Like I'll just give it to someone who could hopefully use them or appreciate them. I'm pretty sure the guy gave it to them. I gave to, which is just going to resell them. But I mean, oh, well.
Nice.
He was a nice guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting because one of the first things that happened to me when I first moved to Singapore was that my brother knew a guy that was leaving Singapore.
Oh, perfect.
And I got to have like his coat rack, his ottoman that folds out into like a single, a bunch of like utensils, Tupperware, pots, pans, plates. Damn. Linens as well.
Damn.
I'm just getting a lot of those vibes right now.
All free?
He gave it all for free.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he was really good. Nice guy. I guess my brother treated him to lunch the day after or something like that. So I got to actually talk to him and meet him.
Oh.
But yeah, it's kind of like passing on the baton of here, continue my legacy.
Yeah. Yeah, with my fridge.
With your fridge. Okay, I didn't get a fridge. Yeah.
Yeah, same with the apartment. Like, I'm sad to leave it. It was very hard to find, like, such a nice apartment and a nice location.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you have to think to yourself that someone else can enjoy it now and hopefully appreciate it and just be happy for that.
They can hoard in their, in your place
with more garbage.
At the same house.
I'll go on like a 1 minute mini rant, micro rant about posting on those groups.
Ooh, okay.
Like 90% of the messages you get on those groups are just like garbage. Just like people saying like, me, give me this, please. And then like you try to message them for like an actual meetup time or like, do you have a truck or do you have something to pick it up? And they don't. So like I tried to give away like a table once and this guy's like, can I take this on the train? And I was like, I'm giving it away for free. Like, I don't care how you, like, what you do with it. Just take it. Like, don't ask me those questions.
Figure it out.
Yeah. And like, why are you asking me? And like, look at it. Like, are you going to carry this on a train?
Yeah. And you must like give the dimensions too. It's not like he's like, wow, it's a 3 meter long table. I never knew that.
Yeah. No, I give the dimensions. Of course. I think what took the cake this time was because I basically put all the pictures up. And I said, they are free. And I put a picture of my like low desk. Okay. And then I put my MacBook on it to sort of like make it look like this is how it would be used.
Yeah.
And my favorite message was a guy saying, can I have the MacBook? Is it free?
What the heck? Wait, could you tell if it was a troll or not?
No, I'm pretty sure it was real.
And like, oh my gosh.
Because he saw like free and then he just looked at the pictures and he's like, I want that.
Yeah. I'll have the apartment for free. Thanks.
I'll take those floors.
Give me those hardwood floors. What was your general feeling like getting rid of all your stuff, selling it, talking to these jokers on the used market?
I mean, sad. I think the sofa especially made me sad. Getting that sofa because I didn't have a sofa at my old place, so my new place had room for it.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of research into what sofa I wanted, paid a lot for the sofa. And when I got it, I truly felt like an adult.
Oof. Like, ladies and gentlemen, he has evolved.
Like a functioning adult, I'll say.
Yeah.
So when I got rid of it, it was sort of sad, like to see that empty space in the apartment again.
Yeah.
I think also because I gave it to someone I didn't know, like I sold it for pretty cheap. It sort of made me sadder too. The stuff that I gave to my friends, I was actually kind of happy about, like my desk.
Oh, okay.
Like, cause I had to move it with my friend to his place.
Yeah.
And to like see the desk in his room, and now he's using it. It made me feel just a lot happier about the whole thing. Just like, I will be gone physically, but a part of me, this is really lame, lives on in my friend's apartments.
As a desk.
As a desk that moves up and down.
Your sweat and tears encapsulated in a damn desk.
I was, I don't know, sad, happy. I mean, I think moving anywhere is a roller coaster, right?
Yeah. Wow. So yeah. I feel like selling your sofa is like, it's like selling away your adulthood.
It sort of was. I got to get a new one. I better order a new one right now or something.
Oh, yeah. I also feel like you didn't get to use that couch that long, right?
No, because it only came in, I think, like early March. I was gone for 2 months. So it's been 9 months. So it's only been like 6-7 months. Yeah.
And that guy got it for a deal.
Yeah.
What a steal.
Yeah, literally. I mean, that guy as well. I'm pretty sure he was like breaking his immigration visa thing because he said he's working remotely. And I was like, oh, like, did you get a visa? Or like, how are you staying in the country? And he's like, oh, I'm just a tourist visa. And I'm like, pretty sure that's illegal.
What?
Anyways.
Yeah.
I think my other like big realization was this was the first time I had to actually, how do you say, get rid of everything, right?
Because
when I left Canada, I could just leave all my stuff in my room, in my closet, anything I don't take.
Yeah.
But this is the first time, like it, you literally have to question every last thing you own. And it's like, do I need this? Should I bring it back? Should I ship it back? Because it costs money to ship it back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why I'm sitting with a aluminum.
What the hell is
next
that?
To me? Because for some reason I decided this is worth taking back. So I have a mixing bowl. Oh, and it has a light in it because the light is just like it matches the shape.
Why'd you take the light? Wait, it's more than just a mixing bowl. There's a colander in there too.
Yeah, and a colander. Yeah.
What do you?
I don't know.
You're not going on MasterChef. You're just moving across the country or moving across the world.
I just really like this for some reason, and now here it is in my backpack.
Is it from like some very easily obtainable store like Muji? I gotta ask.
No, it's a bit more. Plus, I think like the shape. I mean, no one could see this, but the shape matches like the lamp perfectly.
So it fits perfectly inside.
Yeah. So I was like, I'll just bring this because I need to bring the lamp anyways. The lamp's
bring
for
the lamp.
The lamp's for depression in Canada.
Oh my God! Foreshadowing. Is that a Philips Hue lamp?
Yeah, it's one of the lamps that simulates the sunrise because there is no sunrise in Canada.
Oh, it's the ones that just sit on your nightstand, right?
Yeah. And then like as you wake up, it gets brighter, like the sun.
Yeah.
When there is no sun in the winter.
Okay. Those are really expensive. I kind of understand why you're bringing that.
I used it for a bit in Japan, although the sun never rises late, so you never need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the sun rises too early there.
It does. All year.
Do you have any other... Oh, and another thing that you have that you never packed away is your microphone, Jason.
Indeed. I have a whole backpack.
This podcast is important.
it was actually weird because when you ship stuff by air, it's entirely by weight. The size doesn't matter.
Oh.
So I had to have like... I had to do this like weird thing where I threw all the heavy stuff in my backpack, in my suitcase.
Uh-huh.
And I shipped back the light stuff, like clothes.
Huh.
So when you open my backpack, it's like all electronics.
Oh my gosh. Like a mouse. It sounds so hard for your shoulder.
Yeah, like a mouse, a keyboard, a headphones, microphone, laptop, lamp.
Wow.
Yeah. So like my shit's really heavy right now.
Holy crap.
And speaking of shipping, holy shit, it's expensive. Oh my God.
Oh, really?
By air, a box is like $150, $200.
How big is the box?
So it's entirely by weight, right? So that's probably 7 to 10 kilograms-ish.
Okay.
Yeah, and when you actually start putting clothes or even like other small things in your boxes, it adds up so quickly. Like 10 shirts or like a sweater or like 5 sweaters, hoodies.
Yeah.
It can easily turn into like 15, 20 pounds. Like, yeah. And so
I feel like suitcases get deceivingly heavy with just clothes and like slight toiletries. So I can see the same thing with packing into boxes.
Yeah. I'm going to have an overweight suitcase. I'm 99% sure.
Rip.
So.
Wait, check-in or carry-on?
The check-in. Also, I'm not sure how many carry-ons are you allowed? Because I have like 2 backpacks and I want to like hold another bag in my hand. Like, I feel like they don't really care about your carry-ons that much.
Okay, you were also showing us, showing me that your flight's pretty empty, which means I think they'll care less.
Yeah, so I don't think they'll be that strict.
Because, when you go on an airplane, there's always that guy or girl or couple, they're carrying like the hiking backpacks and it's like
that's four feet
tall. I swear, it's like a suitcase and a half.
It's like going over their head.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true.
I think you should be okay. I don't know how you carry them, though.
No, you're right. I have way less stuff than one of those people.
Yeah, that's all right then.
Yeah. Plus the flight, like you said, is surprisingly empty. When I was checking the seating, it's like half full. I wonder, it's like Christmas season. I don't know why.
Wow. Are you flying? We're flying tomorrow, so it's not quite.
Not quite, but it's a season. Yeah. It's a Wednesday.
You're right, yeah.
But
I don't know. I would expect it to be empty only like
Christmas Day.
On Christmas Day or on New Year's.
Yeah.
And so surprisingly, I have a friend that's in a very similar situation as you, where he's Singaporean, he lives in Singapore, and he's moving to the US. And let me go. He was just telling me about this today because he got so many things done yesterday.
Okay.
So today is Monday. Apparently he got his visa on Friday.
Okay.
Booked a flight for like 4 days away.
Holy.
The next day. And then also like started calling the corporate housing and like, yeah, he's leaving on Saturday now. It's insane. What? Yeah. So within a week of getting his visa to the US, he's basically out of the country and he's moving.
Wow. Was he like ready to jump or like?
Yeah. Because he got the offer, he signed, and they were basically just waiting for the paperwork to finish.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was actually telling me about how he's getting his stuff airshipped because he doesn't have that many things that he's moving.
Okay.
And yeah, like, did you choose airship, which is a lot more expensive, or like land, which is, sorry, by sea, which is less expensive, but takes a lot longer?
For everything, like for 80% of my stuff, I thought I would need it more immediately because it's winter too.
Oh.
So like sweaters and hoodies and stuff. If it was summer, I would just boat ship it.
Yeah.
The only thing I did boat shipping was my books because it's like they're just sort of sitting on the shelf.
Oh,
and they're really heavy. Books are freaking heavy when you put them in a box.
Dude, why did you even ship books? Because they're, I don't know, aren't they easily like, you can buy them again when you're in Canada?
Yeah, but I mean, I shipped like 30 books.
Yeah,
I was surprised I owned 30 books.
How much is it shipping that many books?
If you do the sea shipping, it's only like $70.
Oh, for the box? Oh, okay.
Yeah, for the air shipping that many books, it's like $300.
Holy crap! That's
Which in that case might not be worth it, right?
Yeah. Okay, so you air shipped most of your stuff.
Yep. Should get there around when I do. Maybe I'll be on my plane. Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's by plane. Yeah.
You know, did you know when I was a kid? Okay.
Okay.
I always thought that they fly a separate plane with everyone's luggage.
Stupid Jason.
I never knew it went under the seats.
Oh.
I always wondered.
It's so have you seen videos of them loading the actual plane?
Yeah, it's like an art. It's like Tetris. Dude,
it looks so uncomfortable to do.
Oh yeah.
Yo,
yeah,
kudos to those guys. They're like hunched over for I don't know how long.
Yeah.
And they're lifting up like, I don't know, 20, 30 kilo checked in baggage.
Yeah, right?
It's crazy.
Did you know there's actually like a very specific order they have to go in?
Oh wait, what do you mean?
But like you can't put all the heavy baggage on one side and the light stuff on the other. So they have to go in a specific place that's like predetermined.
It's kind of like when you're doing a trailer hitch and you can't put all the heavy stuff at the very back of the trailer.
Yeah. Because once I was supposed to take off at the airport and they're like, oh, our weight balance is incorrect. So we have to take all the luggage out and put it back in. And that was when I learned the luggage is, no, I wasn't that old.
Yeah. Man, it sucks to be the guy packing the luggage that day because he...
Yeah, right?
They probably fucked up.
Yeah.
Everyone probably hates them.
Fuck.
Yeah. Then again, like, I do know of some coworkers that moved from the US to Singapore and they got their stuff shipped by sea.
Yeah.
And they had a... My company gives out a decent enough stipend for shipping your things, relocation basically, that, dude, they shipped everything. Like their TV, their couch, their dining tables.
Yeah. Usually companies will cover everything.
And that's insane. But the caveat was that she moved into her new place and then she just like didn't have anything for like 2 months.
Oh, because everything
was on the way.
Yeah.
I think one other coworker lent her a small futon.
Okay.
And that was like the only thing she had.
Sad.
Which is super sad. But when all the stuff came, like, she was saying
instantly
how it felt like she was back in LA
because
everything else that she had there was in Singapore.
Yeah. It was transplanted.
Yeah.
The rule was shipping big furniture. We might've talked about this on the last pod because I looked into the price and it was like $3,000 to ship this couch, which is not worth it.
I see.
So the rule is you only ship stuff overseas if one, it's irreplaceable, like it's some stupid bookshelf that runs in the family.
Yeah.
I don't have it. My family's not that rich to have such things.
Okay.
Or two, the company pays. Those are the only two circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where you do that.
Oh, did the company pay for yours?
No, it was out of pocket. That's why I would have gladly shipped that couch back if they were going to pay.
Oh.
Yeah. So I have to be economical and do it all myself.
Came out of your pocket. Dang.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
So how does it feel now? Are you T minus less than 24 hours away?
Oh yeah. T minus 19 hours.
Wow.
It's weird. I feel almost lighter.
Wow.
Right? There's no baggage. There's no, nothing no, weighing no me down. No
regrets weighing you down. No.
I don't think so. I wouldn't call it a regret. I mean, obviously it would have been, I mean, everyone who's leaving alone could say this, like, oh, it would have been nice if I could find someone here, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, of course.
But it's not like I didn't try or like there was a lack of effort per se. So I wouldn't say I have like a regret there per se. I don't know. I feel like I did everything I wanted to do and had a great time. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Hang up the coat. Get off this pod and never be let back on ever again.
The past week I've been able to see people. I've seen pretty much everyone who I wanted to see.
Yeah.
Or sorry, people I don't want to see. I mean,
oh shit. Like you were not in the equation.
I think there's probably one person who would have been nice to see, but either didn't have time or nothing lined up, which was like an old classmate from the language school.
Wow. That's a long time ago.
Yeah. But I have got to see people who I haven't seen in like over a year. So it's been nice to like see them and get like a final goodbye and sort of have like closure. Cause I think for a lot of these people, right, it's been like, we would hang out fairly often before COVID, maybe like once a month, every other month. And then when COVID started, we stopped seeing each other for like months. And then, you know, every month or every other month became like every 4 months, every 6 months, you know, like those friendships, right?
Yeah.
Those friendships, you see them, you're seeing them like once a month, and then it turns into every other month, and then every quarter, every half year, every year, and that's sort of the end.
Yeah.
So it was sort of like that with a lot of these people. I don't know like how much I can blame COVID, honestly, but it did sort of keep us apart for months at a time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was just nice to like catch up, see how they're doing, and say like a final goodbye for now.
See, I'm curious, is there ever a feeling that like, oh, does this, should I even reach out to this friend? Because will they even care that I'm leaving?
No. I think, I've had that thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
Will this person care? Yeah. Or like we've grown so far apart that like, do they even remember me? But we were close back then. People generally
did you reach out? Some, yeah.
So like some of these people I've met recently, I was sort of debating, should I see them? Yeah. Should I not see them? But honestly, I've been glad to see everyone. Hasn't been a meeting where I was like, shit, I shouldn't have done that.
Oh, really? Okay. That's really good to hear.
Yeah. And then maybe a week ago, week and a bit ago, I had like a goodbye with my ex colleagues. That was really nice. Like everyone came together one last time.
Yeah.
And then this past weekend was like a closer friend group saying goodbye to them. We had a dinner and they surprised me with like a goodbye plate of like desserts. Aww. You know how it's usually like birthday plates?
Yeah.
But it was like a farewell plate.
Oh, I see. I see.
Sort of teared up. And then the next day I saw like a bigger group of friends.
Yeah.
And they made me a goodbye video.
Oh, like the feels.
Edited together. Everyone's has the camera on them saying their final message.
I'll see you in the afterlife. I'll see you when we're dead.
Made me cry.
Damn.
And then at karaoke later, it was like a lot of goodbye songs. And then, someone put on Time of Your Life by Green Day.
Okay.
Do you know like the lyrics?
I think I remember the two. I don't remember the lyrics though.
It's basically just saying like, it's like you're saying goodbye and like it was a great time and you're grateful for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cry like a baby.
Oh, dude, did they play what's the song, Graduation?
No, do you not remember graduating. That song? What the fuck?
Okay, no, it's not graduating, but like, dude, that song is just talking about like saying goodbye. And
It's talking about like high school and like.
Yeah, but still, goodbyes nonetheless.
Goodbyes. We did not play that song. But
oh, damn. I kind of love that song.
It's a good song. It's a good song.
Yeah.
It was a sad night, though. Or like, you know, happy and sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many times did you cry?
Oh my God. At least twice. At least twice. Once with the video and once at karaoke. The other thing that I really, that like made me cry at karaoke was singing this one song.
Okay.
Called Kiseki, which means miracle.
I don't know this.
It's a song by this band called Green with like four E's. So it's Green. You gotta say the long E. Anyways.
Okay.
And the song is not like that sentimental. It's more of like a love song, but it made me so sad because when I was like a kid growing up in Canada, I think like a part of me wanted to somehow like connect with Japan. So I would every week on YouTube, I would like look up like the top 10 songs in Japan that are currently playing. And that Green song was very popular in 2006, maybe when I was like 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like I kept playing it to myself and I really liked the song, but no one else knew it. Like no one else like around me
in Canada.
Yeah. No one in Canada knows the song. So they're like, what is this weeb shit sort of thing?
Get out of here. We hate you.
And then when I came to Japan, I remember like the first time I went karaoke here with my friends, like someone put the song on and I was like, like other people know this song. Like everyone here knows it. And like everyone can sing it. Yeah. It's very popular.
Oh my goodness.
And so just playing that song one last time made me so sad that, I mean, I can always come back and do it, but like,
you can always sing the song again, like anywhere
by myself.
Yeah, exactly.
But it made me sad to sort of realize that this was the last time, or for now, I could sing it with people who know the song. Mm. And yeah.
Yeah.
That was not well put, but
gonna,
it's something like that.
You're going to go back to the land of Gaijins and
put the song
people
on.
They don't understand. Yeah, you know? They just don't understand me. What it's like. Yeah. I listened to this song called Kiseki by Green.
Four E's.
You don't understand.
You just don't get me, Mom.
Spoken truly like that annoying teenager.
That literally was like my hormonal preteen phase.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, I kid you not.
But I can definitely see that being like a milestone. Like you connected with this song in a way, and that it actually paid off. Like, what if you pick some other song that, like,
yeah, right?
No one sang at karaoke. Song. You put it on, and they're like, "What the fuck is this song?"
I hate those songs where it's just like awkward, and one person singing, and everyone else is like looking at their phone. It's like, oh, this is
just skip it. Skip the song.
I fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, do you feel like you achieved your goal of connecting with your Japanese side of you?
Oh yeah, for sure.
More than just the song.
No, I'm good.
Nice.
And like,
nice.
Some of these friends I met only speak Japanese, so like we have to speak Japanese all the time. I went to see my family today, my uncle and aunt here. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, obviously when they talk to me, they sort of dumb it down, like.
Yeah.
Like, we're not discussing politics or like history here, but.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But like, I have like a perfectly fine, normal, 100% normal conversation with them. And definitely when I got here 5-6 years ago, that was not something I could do.
That's an achievement.
So yeah, that's like an achievement, even though like I've definitely not practiced or learned much recently. Like,
yeah,
that's a big achievement. And I think I've sort of learned that. Like, even if I live over there being Canada, like, there will always be this, like, home away from home, far from home that I have here that I could potentially come back to or visit or see friends. And that I'll always have, no matter what, no matter where I live.
Wow, way to rub your Japanese citizenship in my face.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, what's really funny is that I was talking to this other friend who's in a similar situation as me, where she's originally from Indonesia. She just got her PR. And then we were talking, we were like, so Alex, do you want to stay in Singapore forever? And I was like, well, do you? And we're both like, we don't know. We have no idea.
Yeah, no one knows.
The answer is like leaning towards a no. But we're really sad that one day we'll have to give up our PR, our permanent residency, because then it limits, one, how long we can stay in Singapore, and also like job prospects is a lot harder as a foreigner, and overall, like, you don't get as many benefits.
Yeah. So you basically hit the reset button.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's also like, if I give away my permanent residency, there's basically 0% chance I'm going to get it back, because it's so difficult to get in the first place. And by forfeiting it, you're basically saying fuck you, because you also take out the money that you put into
the pension system.
Yeah, the pension system.
You have to take it back?
I think you kind of do, because that account doesn't exist for foreigners. So it does make sense that you have to take it out, and that's actually a loophole that some people do. Like, the employer puts in 15% of your pay into that pension, up to a certain amount, obviously. And if you're a foreigner, you got PR, you're about to move out, you get to take all that extra money and reap the benefits, but also cut off ties with Singapore basically forever. Yeah.
So does, by cutting it the first time, it like makes them unhappy and they don't want to ever give it to you again? Like, what if you live there for 5 years, leave for 10 years, come back and start the process all over again? Does it make it any harder?
I'm pretty sure you start from zero, or technically you start even more in the red, in the negative, in terms of like how your, I don't know, social level is in Singapore.
Oh.
Because, or like, I just mean
your credit, the social credit score.
I know. but yeah, my friend and I were, cause we really enjoyed living in Singapore. We were like, oh, what if we what if we owned property in Singapore and like we rented it out, and what if we had a business running in Singapore? How would that work? But if permanent residency requires you to live more than 2.5 years out of every five years, then it might be a non-negotiable requirement of the government. So honestly, I haven't done that much research into it because I'm not that close to moving away from Singapore, but it definitely nags at my mind that it's not something I can just, I'm going to move back now. See ya.
That's true.
Then just like take everything. My kids can just go to school there.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
It's really different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I could do that for Hong Kong, but I have so little identity there compared to Singapore. Like it's quite different.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, I think you have a huge plus in that you're in this special zone where you can come back. There's nothing stopping you.
That's true. It's reversible. I can buy the couch again.
Oof. And then you can give it away again.
No.
For steal. Then
just so everyone knows, I gave it away for like $300 or sold it for $300. And it costed probably over $2,000.
Oh my god.
Yeah, right. No one would take it at a higher price. Someone offered $400, really? But I already sort of organized stuff with that guy, so.
Dude, I'm pretty sure my couch costs like $800-$900 brand new, and I got it for like $300 or like $250.
Yeah. God.
Is the used market that bad in Japan? Like no one wants to buy used?
No, I think there's so much competition of people selling stuff used that and also like couches are sort of items that where like the value drops a lot, right? Because you lie down on them. It's not like a desk.
Yeah.
So people will only take like a huge discount. And then the people who are looking for these used couches only want to pay.
Cheapskates.
Sorry to say, but
those cheapskates.
Only want to pay like a few hundred, right? Because they don't want to pay the $800-$900 for that couch. So it's not like I'm going to get $800-$900 for a used couch.
True. True.
Yeah. At least and plus I was just trying to sell it very quickly, like to get out.
Makes sense.
Goodbye, couch.
So what's the future gonna look like for you? You coming back? You had the option.
I think my strategy in life will be I would just want to live pretty much wherever it's like more advantageous to at the time.
So never Canada. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
I guess like having the I never really thought about it, but having the flexibility is like it's like a cheat, like a life hack, cheat code for life. I think when I go back, I'm gonna rent a place, right? Buy a car.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look at cars with our third podcast friend who was on here before.
Wait, you can say his name.
TM. We have a plan to look at cars already when I get back.
Dude, I'm kind of FOMO about that. Yo, I really want to come look at the car too, but I'm like far as hell.
We're going to be test driving. I don't know how seriously we're going to look, but just like go around some places and look. Excited to date in an English speaking country. Oh,
wow.
Whoa. Yeah, I feel like that opens a lot of doors. But yeah, going back to like the long-term thing, like, I don't know, something ever happened in Canada of houses start costing like $5 million on average and I can never afford it or something.
Oh, we're on that. We're on
that path. So we're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Just a few more years.
Yeah.
You know, if something like happens there or happens in Japan, like I'll just go wherever the opportunity is best, I sort of think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you're going to have like, how do I describe this? You're like too settled into a country, because that friend that I was talking about, he's moving from Singapore to the US. Dude, his wife quit her job like 1 month in because of this role transfer. And he also like just bought a place. It just finished renovating. He lived there like less than half a year. He's like not really getting to benefit all that work that he put into like negotiating renovation, all the work that went into it. Cause he did a lot of things himself. Yeah. And then I don't know, a lot of it also depends on your partner and how flexible their role is.
Yeah, that's true. If you marry like a doctor, they cannot leave the country.
Doctor, re-license. Lawyer, healthcare.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just an unknown unknown. Who knows? Maybe someone flexible, someone inflexible. And if they're inflexible, then...
Fair enough.
Then that's how life goes. And I'll be quote-unquote stuck or...
Yeah.
But even then, I think, you know, we find happiness because of our circumstances, not... Or, like, you could find happiness if you accept the circumstances that you live with.
Hmm.
And I think I don't necessarily think that, like, you know, I have to be in Japan or Canada or somewhere to be happy, right?
Yeah, I mean, Jason, you're just gonna be stuck on Eglinton Avenue. You're gonna be like moving at a snail's pace and be like, why is this still one lane, one direction? It's been 6 years.
It's been like 13 years.
It's been really fucking long. Yeah. And then you're going to be like on... Oh, you know what's hilarious? I was on the r/Toronto subreddit. People were like, you know how they closed... I don't remember if it's King, Queen, or both of those streets, but they're streetcar only now.
King, or was. Or is supposed to be
is.
Streetcar only. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Apparently cars just turn onto that road.
Yeah, like, they just say, fuck it, like, I'm going to go anyways.
I didn't
yeah.
know that it's closed. And then they just drive and they like fuck up the traffic.
Yeah, yeah, all the
and
time.
And they don't get penalized at all.
No.
Dude, if I was...
This is the land of the free.
Break all the rules you want.
We're
nice about it.
Just say sorry and you're out.
Dude, if I was a police officer, yo, I'd farm those tickets. Oh, I hit my quota so quickly. Because I can imagine so many people doing that. And I can imagine how infuriating it is.
Of course.
Yeah. And also, like, there was this time lapse of this one guy. He was literally just walking along King Street. And he was so much faster than all the street cars.
The street cars, yeah.
And all the cars that were
Yeah.
Dude, that boggles my mind.
Yeah. No, transit's a nightmare in Toronto.
Oh, God.
And I mean, the sad truth of like society there and why I like need to get a car is that just like anyone who doesn't drive is a second class citizen. So.
Oh, shit. It's very much true.
So,
which is sad.
But I mean, you can optimize your life for that. And
yeah.
Just. Like as much as I wish it was like here, like Japan, it's not, and I'm not going to be the one who can change it. So I might as well just live life as best as it can over there.
Just buy the Mercedes and be like, you are second citizen, second class citizens. I am up here.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot to look forward to.
You're gonna rent somewhere by yourself in Toronto.
Yeah, I want to at least. So see what it's like to live there as an adult.
That's going to be... Yeah, yeah. I'm genuinely curious, like, because we started this podcast well into living in that country, in Singapore and Japan.
Yeah. Well, 2 years in, almost?
Yeah, I was like a year in, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason, you know what this means? You got to milk it. You got to make a YouTube channel. You got to document what it's like and then be like, day in the life of moving across the world.
Oh,
and
then, my God.
And then you get all the views and then all the people slide into your DMs.
Oh.
And it's a win-win situation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sell my soul. Sell my soul to be an influencer.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Things will be good. Things will be good. You know, when one door closes, another opens. And
yeah,
when I was leaving my apartment for the final time today, I told myself, this is the start of a new adventure. And yeah, with every new adventure, new people, new experiences, looking forward to it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas on like making new friends in Toronto?
Oh God, don't ask me. I don't know. I mean, I have my friends there and like classmates and they have friends. When I was there over the summer, like we thought of going to events like for like people in the industry, for example.
Oh, cool.
But then I left earlier than expected, so never got to go. But I think we'd like to like resume that or try doing it.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, it's just easier to meet people there. Everyone speaks English, so.
Okay,
yeah.
That's true. that's not really a roadblock that I think about much. Yeah.
So yeah, let's get this.
Let's get this.
Let's get this.
Would you give yourself any advice if you were to move countries? Actually, have you had people reach out saying like, should I move to Japan?
Yeah. Maybe not recently, but especially when I first left, all the time.
Yeah.
People ask, or what is it like? How do you do it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What advice would I give? I would say that if you have an itch, just scratch it, go for it. Cause clearly, I mean, as long as you don't have anything holding you back over there.
Yeah.
If you clearly some people just have no interest in it, right? In moving overseas. But if you feel like you have an interest, just do it. And it's reversible, right? I mean, especially as long as you're young and don't have a family yet or everything. Just go. See what it's like. The worst is you just waste a year of your life. See, that was dark.
Jeez, whoa, oh my gosh. As someone that's wasted many years of my life.
As someone who just wasted six.
Oh, shit. Damn, that's how you feel, huh? That's your real feelings.
Yeah, just do it. I mean, looking back, it's just crazy thinking I feel like the past me was so brave before COVID and meeting all these people and going to things and just getting out there. And I'm hoping that moving sort of kickstarts or jolts that back again.
So you're implying you're a timid old man now, living in Tokyo.
I think COVID's made me a lot more shy than before. I think before I was a lot more aggressive. I mean,
calm down there.
What was that?
That came out of nowhere. That was pre-COVID, Jason.
I haven't seen him in years. just do it, I guess. Otherwise, I'll say that it's been a nice adventure with you, and I'm glad you joined me on this side of the world. I don't know if I inspired the decision, probably not, but
slightly.
If I was even a small part.
Yeah, you're definitely part of it. I mean, so many different factors, but the fact that you were in Japan and my girlfriend at the time was in Hong Kong. Yeah, I was like, if these people can do it, I can too.
If those idiots could figure it out.
Yeah, if they didn't get robbed and lose all their money or something terrible happened to them, I'm sure I'll be fine. Yeah,
and I think this podcast, I mean, obviously when we recorded every week, did a lot to help get through COVID.
And yeah.
You know what? I have a diary of journals I was writing to myself, especially during COVID.
Yeah.
Like 2021, 2022. And it made me realize that like thinking back about COVID, maybe we feel like, oh, it was such a stressful time. It was this, it was that. Mm-hmm. When I read those journal entries to myself, it made me realize COVID was pretty much a lot of boredom with a little bit of panic mixed in every now and then. But for the most part, it was just boredom. Like, people were so bored, isolating, quarantining.
Yeah.
And so I think this pod was a good way to sort of alleviate that.
And we get to make fun of ourselves all the while.
Always good.
Yes. Yeah. I kind of see this pod as a way that both of us moved out of our comfort zones. Because in the very, very beginning, I used to make YouTube videos about origami. And then that was the cool thing that I did on the side. And now I have this 46 episode podcast.
Wow. Of
us talking for so damn long.
Wow.
Almost too much. And we have tens of thousands of hours of people listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. We gave people entertainment. We gave people advice. It was great. We did good.
It could still go on, but for now.
Well, you're excommunicated from the from the podcast.
Okay.
Until otherwise.
Okay then. Well, for the foreseeable future, I suppose this is it. It's been a good ride.
This is it. It's been a good ride.
Yeah. No regrets.
No regrets.
Just memories.
Oh. All right. Do you want to say the title of this episode?
The title, I'll call it, is Sayonara, Japan. And my final thank yous to everyone, Alex, everyone who's ever listened to this podcast, all my friends here who I've met. People who've come into my life shortly for a long time, whether we still talk today or lost touch communication over the years, but you still listen to this for some reason. Ugh. I know those people are out there.
Oh my gosh. Called them out.
Just thank you for the great memories that I'll never forget. We'll treasure for the rest of my life. Starts crying.
I definitely think you should. I'm not going to have this cathartic episode. I need an episode when I move back.
Well, right? We can do one. Okay. Reunion.
Okay, that's true. Reunion. And then we make a new podcast.
Back home.
Close to home. Yeah. All right. I guess everyone can look forward to those episodes one day when they come out.
One day. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy. Sayonara, Japan.